Welcome to this episode of the Sat Signal, and a huge thank you to all of you who left a lovely comment on the first episode that I made. I'm about to jump on a plane and head over to Bitcoin in Las Vegas, but I wanted to get this episode out to you because this is a big week in Bitcoin. We just broke a new all-time high for the asset class, and it's an exciting time. But there's a few points from the news that I think are really, really valuable learnings for all of you guys that are kind of new to Bitcoin. So I want to start off with a clip that came out this week from a person called Lynn Alden. Now, Lynn is one of the most respected analysts in the space. And this week she came out and articulated beautifully what I articulated in the first episode of the Sat Signal, which is my reason overall for why I believe that Bitcoin has a lot of room to grow, even at today's price, which as I make this video is about US$110,000 per Bitcoin. So let's just kick this episode off by listening to Lynn explain why she believes that Bitcoin is still vastly underpriced at this new all-time high.
I view it as hitting escape velocity, which is that it's the dominant by far monetary protocol around in terms of security, liquidity, and pretty much any other metric you'd look at. And it's still, I generally look at it as, what is the total addressable market? A pretty meaningful percent of liquid fungible assets is the total addressable market, which is when you have this really high long-term price forecast of 20 years in the future, it's because someone's saying, okay, if we look at global assets, it's a quadrillion in assets roughly. Gold is 2% of that. Bitcoin's 0.2% of that. And it's like, well, what if Bitcoin goes to 2% like gold? What if, because of its superior qualities, what if it goes to 5%? What if it goes to 10%? And I don't really try to predict what percentage it can get to, but I think that 0.2% is still low. And so I think that this monetary protocol, the network effect signs compared to any other competitor are basically 10x compared to the next, you know, that's where the saying there's no second best comes from, is that there's no Pepsi and Coke here. It's like Coke and then store brand that you didn't hear of. And so it's not even close. And so the combination of one, dominant protocol, and two, very little adoption when you look at the grand scheme of asset sizes out there, which means ideally a lot of room to run.
So what Lynn so beautifully articulates here is that when you consider Bitcoin in the context of global assets, it is still an absolutely tiny asset. It is not even 1% of global assets. It's 1/10 the value of gold. And in her opinion, it's superior to gold. So what she's basically saying is, this is a great asset. It's been the fastest growing asset in the world every year since it's been born 16 years ago, other than three. And we are just starting to now see some real adoption. But the reason I wanted to make this video today is because this week in particular, something big happened. A few days ago, the US held their treasury bond auction. This is where they go to market and try to sell their treasuries to the highest bidder. And this is what happened.
Take a look at yields. The yield on the 20-year bond is higher now, about a couple-year high, 5.11 after the 1 p.m. auction that pushed yields up on the long end across the board, really. Let's turn to Rick Santelli for more with the bond report, joining us out of Chicago.
So for the average person, when they see a clip like that, it just glazes over on their eyes and it means nothing. So what does it actually mean to us investors that are trying to make something of ourselves financially? What it means is that when these treasury auctions are held, it's basically the US government going to the marketplace and saying, hey, listen, we need to borrow money to keep our economy going. So we will give you X return if you buy this treasury bill off us. So you give us your money today, right? We'll borrow it off you and we'll pay it back with this interest rate. The government now, you saw that spike where it went up like that. They're saying, this is saying that in order to get takers, they had to increase how much they're willing to give back. In other words, people are losing faith in the US dollar. In fact, this week, the Federal Reserve had to buy most of the bonds themselves because there were no buyers at all. This is where it starts to get very interesting. One of the most famous senators in the US who's been really pro-Bitcoin and has really carried the flag for Bitcoiners in government has been Senator Cynthia Lummis. She has been the one that has been saying to the government, we need a strategic Bitcoin reserve. We need the US government to own Bitcoin. She has been really at the cutting edge. Now, they have been trying to push through the House in the US for a long time now, this stable stable coin bills. So for those of you who don't know what a stable coin is, that is what we call USDT or USDC. What it basically is a token, a digital token. So you can go to a crypto exchange, you can put any form of fiat currency. So you can put, you know, your Chinese yuan in, your Australian dollars, your Kiwi dollars, whatever, into your crypto exchange. And then you can buy one of these tokens, which is a USDT stable coin. Now, USDT is Tether, stands for Tether at the end. Tether is one of the most, if not the most, successful companies in the history of the world on a per employee basis. They are making billions and billions of dollars a year by offering this digital token, which, and what makes these digital tokens unique is that when you buy a dollar's worth of USDT, they then go and buy one US Treasury bill of the US government. So this digital token is actually backed, in fact, by a real US dollar asset, right? Which is the US Treasury bill. Now, this has been a killer use case for a cryptocurrency or a token in the world because so many people around the world want to convert their Argentine pesos into the US dollar. But now with these stable coins, they're able to, instead of lining up at Western Union or going down the street and trading their money on the street, they can have a crypto account, they can fund it, and then immediately convert it into the equivalent of a US dollar that is digital, that is actually backed by the US government through the Treasury bills. So think about this for a moment. The US government runs these auctions. Nobody wants to buy their Treasury bills. Guess who one of the biggest buyers of US Treasury bills in the world is? That's right. It is the cryptocurrency. It is the USDT or the USDC, which are private companies that create these tokens, and they make a fortune by taking little margins on those tokens. So what was interesting is that the US government this week, around the same time that nobody was buying their Treasury bills, came out and all of a sudden, after years of trying to get stablecoin legislation through, they have now announced that they have got it through. They have now approved a US stablecoin initiative in the White House. Why do you think that is? It's because nobody else is buying it. So we're going to watch this clip from Cynthia Lummis, and then I'm going to connect the two puzzles pieces together for you so you can see how alarming this situation actually is.
Well, this has been a long time coming, and a lot of negotiations have gone on to get this bill to this point where we had a strong bipartisan vote last night. We look forward to sending this bill to the House so the U.S. can establish itself as the country that has adopted the most advanced, forward-thinking digital asset policy in the world. It's something President Trump supports. It's something that we are dedicated to because the digital asset industry is already embedded in our country and worldwide. And we need to have something that preserves a dual banking system that recognizes the US dollar through our US treasuries as the important global asset that they are and continues to be, as Senator Hagerty says, the impetus for our being the global world reserve currency. This week, Coinbase, a digital asset company, joins the S&P 500, the first digital asset company to join the S&P 500. Digital assets are here to stay. Among the 20 largest holders in the world of U.S. Treasuries is a stablecoin. These are embedded assets that we haven't regulated, that we haven't welcomed into our country until the Genius Act. I want to thank Senator Hagerty for his tireless work on this. I want to thank Senator Thune for giving us another chance at getting this to cloture. And it is a great advance forward, not only for the U.S. Senate, in that it is the first bill that's come out of the Banking Committee in 8 years, but it is our first effort to integrate our country into what will be a faster and cheaper means by which individuals, small businesses, and others can engage in business all over the world. Thank you.
All right. Now, this is very important to understand what is going on here, guys, because it is not obvious, but let me piece the puzzle together for you. So the US government is on track to hit $50 trillion in debt. Everybody knows that if this was a human being, they would be absolutely bankrupt. They have gotten by selling US Treasury bonds to the world up until now. And then this week at the US Treasury bond auction, everyone said, we don't want them. We don't want to buy your future. So all of a sudden now they've gone, who is going to buy our future? And she said it right at the end there.
Individuals, small businesses, and others.
Because the smart money is not buying the treasury bills anymore. The people, the bond funds, all the big instant international buyers, they're not bidding for it anymore. This digital token is a way for the US government to continue to export the US dollar, which is a Ponzi scheme. It is paper money that is printed infinitum. It's a way for them to keep selling that and pushing that out worldwide by doing it through these digital tokens. And as you can see already, the average person around the world is not an advanced financial expert. They still believe that the US dollar is the holy grail, and they are converting their money through these USDT tokens all over the world. So basically what you've got is you've got imaginary money failing, which is the US fiat system, and then you've got these digital tokens which are made up that are backed by this dumpster fire of the US dollar. The only thing that's actually pure here is Bitcoin itself. It is not part of this Ponzi scheme. It is not part of the US government that spends like a drunken sailor. It stands out here alone, borderless, governmentless. It is I can't explain it any other way, but the greatest gift to humankind to perhaps ever be given to us. And it's a way for us to store our economic value without all of that politics, war, and evil that goes on in this game. So when these puzzle pieces start to fall together and you continue to see Bitcoin rise as the smart money slowly but surely figures this out, people, one by one, the powerful bend the knee to the unstoppable truth of Bitcoin. One of the biggest critics in the traditional finance system of Bitcoin has been the CEO of JP Morgan, Jamie Dimon. He has not been backward in criticizing Bitcoin. Now, you've got to remember, when it comes to Bitcoin and you hear somebody criticizing it, you have to ask the question, why are they criticizing it? This is the CEO of a bank that has become a mega, mega corporation. He's a multi-billionaire as a result of the system. Why would he be interested in anything that is going to threaten his existence? Let's just throw to a clip of Jamie Dimon at Davos just 12 months ago talking about Bitcoin and how he believes it's the biggest scam in the world.
Bitcoin. Yeah. This ETF was approved just about a week ago now. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are trying to understand what it ultimately means. Yeah. JP Morgan, I imagine if you were a client of JP Morgan, you could call your broker and say, get me some of this ETF. Mm-hmm. What are you telling your brokers to tell them back when they make that call?
Yeah. So this is an important thing. This is the last time I've ever talked about this in CNBC. Okay. So help me God. Blockchain is real. It's a technology. We use it. It's going to move money. It's going to move data. It's efficient. We've been talking about that for 12 years, too, and it's very small. Okay, so I think we've wasted too many words in that. Cryptocurrencies, there are two types. There's a cryptocurrency which might actually do something. Think of a cryptocurrency as an embedded smart contract in it, and that we can use it to buy and sell real estate and move data. That may have value.
The idea of tokenizing.
Tokenizing things that you do something with. And then there's one which does nothing. I call it the pet rock, the Bitcoin or something like that. And so on the Bitcoin, you know, there's, first of all, and I'm not trying to make a joke here. There are use cases, AML, fraud, anti-money laundering, tax avoidance, sex trafficking. Those are real use cases. And you see it being used for hundreds, maybe $50-100 billion a year for that. That is the end use case.
So I think I'd be understating it if I said Jamie Dimon was not a fan of Bitcoin. Now, I don't know if you caught it, but it said in the ticker symbol up at the corner there that the growth of Bitcoin, as he was making that statement, in the 12 months leading up to it was 100%. So it had grown 100% in the year prior to him making that statement. It was at $40,000 when he was making that statement, and it's almost triple that today. So talk about holding on and clinging to your ego and clinging to want to be right in the face of overwhelming evidence to the contrary, where markets are saying over and over again, we want Bitcoin. Well, this week, Jamie Dimon announced that the bank will now be allowing their customers to buy Bitcoin. This is a huge development because this guy have been so critical of the asset for such a long time. But the truth is, smart money knows. And guys, this is the reason that I've been so vocal about YouTube as an asset for the average person. And the reason that I spend time doing this, I don't make money from doing this, right? I do this because YouTube changed my life. Just for the average person, being able to access videos like this where people who are smarter than me teach me how to get ahead, right? What I'm going to show you now is a billionaire called Tim Draper. Tim Draper bought thousands and thousands, I think it was 30,000 Bitcoin a few years back now, and he's just continuing to load up and load up and load up, and so many billionaires around the world are loading up right now. And this is what's extraordinary about this all-time high that we've experienced. What's totally different about this all-time high that we've just hit and all the ones before it is that the retail investor isn't even on the scene. How do we know that? If you go to Google and you look at Google Trends, there's almost no retail search. This is all smart money, big money that is driving this surge in the Bitcoin price. Let me just give you an example of what smart money and big money it looks like and hear it in their own words, what they're doing right now.
Predicted that Bitcoin will be worth $250,000 by the end of 2025. You know, it got me thinking, how much Bitcoin do you now own? Because we know that you bought 30,000 Bitcoin seized from the Silk Road in 2014. Forbes says your net worth is $2.9 billion. I don't know. I'm sure you've spent some of that Bitcoin on investments, but I mean, 30,000 Bitcoin is worth about $3 billion today. Are you okay with clarifying or disclosing how much Bitcoin you own? And is Forbes right about your
net worth? I just keep buying more.
So there you have it. A multi-billionaire who just said it plain. They said the quiet bit out loud. I just keep buying more. As an average person on the street, and this is not financial advice, you've got to do your own research, right? But look at what's happening right now. We have a White House where you've got the Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance, has openly said that 60% of his net worth is in Bitcoin. The head of commerce, Howard Lutnick, owns billions of dollars of Bitcoin and is a massive Bitcoin advocate. RFK, who's in charge of health in the US, has 90% of his net worth in Bitcoin. We have the most pro-Bitcoin White House in the history of the world right now. I'm about to jump on a plane to go to Las Vegas. There's going to be 30,000 people in that room, including Vice President J.D. Vance, including Howard Lutnick, including the who's who of the banking and business worlds. But I want to finish with one clip, which is really important to take notice of. So this is Larry Fink. So Larry Fink is the CEO of BlackRock, the biggest financial institution in the world. Like Jamie Dimon, Larry was a vocal hater of Bitcoin. He said it was for drugs. He said it was for prostitution. He said it was for, you know, robbers and dishonest people and all the worst things, money laundering and so on. But Larry, to his credit, changed his mind. And Larry got into Bitcoin when it was at about $60,000. So they are up, you know, almost 100% in the 12 months. And they are now the second largest owners of Bitcoin through their ETFs and on their balance sheet as a company directly. Now, this, guys, is very important, not the BlackRock story. What I wanted to make important for you to learn is the ability to change one's mind. I have a saying, everyone should have strong beliefs that are loosely held. This world that we live in now is a changing, dynamic place. Ultimately, Bitcoin is an IQ test, and people get Bitcoin at the price that they deserve, and you get it on a need-to-know basis. Generally speaking, the less somebody needs to know about Bitcoin, the less effort they're going to put into learning it. That's why the Microsoft board turned down putting Bitcoin on their balance sheet. They're Microsoft. They don't need Bitcoin to be successful. Warren Buffett has never been a Bitcoin advocate because he's never needed to go deep and learn it because he's super, super successful, right? But you talk to the hundreds of millions of people who live in countries where their currency is devaluing at a rapid rate of knots every single hour, Those people need to know about how to store their effort and their time and their labor in a way that is not going to be deflated away from them in days, weeks, months, or years like it is in Australia. So let's watch this last clip of Larry Fink talking about his transition from being a Bitcoin hater to one of the biggest Bitcoiners in the world.
As you know, I was a skeptic.
Yes.
I was a proud skeptic. Yes. And I studied it, learned about it, and I came away saying, okay, my opinion 5 years ago was wrong. Here's my opinion today. This is what I believe in today. I believe the opportunity today. I believe Bitcoin is legitimate. I'm not trying to say there's not misuses like everything else, but it is a legitimate financial instrument that allows you to have maybe uncorrelated, non-correlated type of returns. I believe it is an instrument that you invest in when you're more frightened, though. It is an instrument when you believe that countries are debasing their currency, debasing their currency by excess deficits, and some countries are. I believe we have countries where you're frightened of your everyday existence, and if you have an opportunity to invest in something that is outside your country's control.
I can't help but laugh. I mean, is Larry my kind of person? Is he my guy? No, he's not. I like how he said, in some countries, not like it's every country, like Australians and Americans right now are not hurting big time because of debasement. Larry's so rich, he's forgotten what it's like to be a normal person, right? And I don't love everything or much about BlackRock. I don't think that they actually share the ethos and the core values of Bitcoin. The only reason that I put that in there is because I do want to acknowledge the guy for changing his mind, because the ability to change one's mind in a world where we just want information that confirms what we already know. You know the saying, we want confirmation, not information. He, on the other hand, very high profile guy, to his credit, turned around and said, you know what? I was wrong. Bitcoin is legit. And what he didn't say is, and I figured out how to make a lot of money from it, right? But at the end of the day, the ability to change one's mind and not let your ego get in the way of making money for your financial future is a very, very key skill to develop. There's a saying in Bitcoin that all of us come for the money, but we stay for the revolution. And I know and I hope that this message meets you today wherever you are. It is not wrong to come to Bitcoin because you want to make money, right? But when you actually go down the rabbit hole and you start to truly understand what it is and the impact that it can have on humanity, that's when people stay for the revolution. And that's why I recommend everybody, when they ask me, should I buy Bitcoin? I say, no. What you should do is you should buy The Bitcoin Standard. It's a book by Saifedean Ammous. Spend 7 hours reading or listening to the audio version of that book and make your own decision. It is a personal decision, and it is one that will, in one way or another, change your life. I have found that Bitcoin has taught me more about life and people and myself than almost any other investment I've ever made. As always, guys, if you enjoy these videos, please drop a comment below. But the biggest thing you can do for us is subscribe to the channel and tell your friends. Bye for now. Hey there, I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.